Amen. Amen. Today, the Assemblies of God across the nation is beginning 70 different churches today. So what a I still believe God's going to use the local church to evangelize the world. It's not going to be evangelized by the TV preachers. It's going to be evangelized by the local church. God still wants to use the local church. Amen. If you wouldn't, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9, verse 1 through 13. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture, and surprisingly, I was just amazed at how little I knew about it when I began to study this. When I first read this, and I thought, oh dear Jesus, what am I going to preach on Sunday? And man, the Lord just began to open things up, so I pray that it really ministers to you. The title of the sermon is Don't Miss What God Is Doing. Don't miss what God is doing. If you're on that beginning page, you'll see that normally I have one scripture in Mark chapter 9, verse 1 through 13. But I want you to also notice that Matthew 17, 1 through 13, and Luke chapter 9, 28 through 36, this is all the same story. It's in all three, or in three of these gospel stories. So in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, he says to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth could whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," because he did not know what to say, and they were greatly afraid. Oh my goodness, verse 6, this is not in the sermon, but can I give you a bit of wisdom? When you don't know what to say, shut up. That's just a godly word of wisdom for you. When you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. Verse 7, I know somebody should have said, thank you, Jesus, for that. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore but Jesus with them, but only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things that they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising of the dead meant. And they asked him, saying, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" And he answered and told them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it was written of him." Father God, I come before you today. And Lord, we're so thankful for the presence of God that's in this building. I thank you, Lord, that you came to set the captives free, that you came to heal the bruised and open the eyes of the blind. Today, Father, I feel like I'm in every category, Lord. I need to be set free. I need to have my eyes open. And, Lord, I feel sort of beat up and bruised. I need your healing. Lord, I pray, Lord, for each and every person, Lord, that they would just receive life in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, I know your word is anointed. I know the Spirit of God is here, but I'm asking for your anointing to be upon my words as I speak yours. I pray that Eric would decrease and that your love and you would increase in this place. And I pray for the ears of the hearer, Lord, that they would not hear a man, but they would hear the voice of God speaking directly to their heart, words of wisdom that will add life to their life. Father, I pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth be anointed by you. Father, touch our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus invited three of his closest disciples with him to go up and to pray. If you read the other two accounts of this story, you get a little bit of different insight. the three disciples actually fell asleep. And when they woke up, that's when they saw Moses and Elijah standing there. So I think they woke up because they heard the voices. They knew Jesus was by himself, but they began to probably subconsciously hear the talking. It probably stirred them just a little bit and they woke up. But my thought was, the other nine missed it. The other nine missed it, and these three that was the closest to him almost missed it. You see, this is the transfiguration. It's not the ascension. Okay? Jesus wasn't lifted in the air. He stayed right there. But something great happened. So, I think, me, I don't want to miss what God is doing. You know, if you listen to the news a lot, you're going to get your eyes off what Jesus is doing and what you're going to get your eyes onto what Satan is doing in the land. Now, am I saying don't watch the news? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you need to be careful with the amount of that you put into your life. You probably need to spend some time in prayer and study. Every time you watch the news, you probably need to get back into His presence. And I say that with all integrity. I believe that to a great extent right now, if you were to see the body of Christ, not Bridge of Hope, but the body of Christ, if you could see the body of Christ like Jesus sees the body of Christ, I'm afraid that you would see a bunch of us sleeping. About to miss maybe the greatest event that's ever happened in the world. I think that you would see that there's much of the body of Christ that's not even invited to it. Nine of the 12 wasn't even invited to the party. Are you getting that? Does that not disturb you a little bit? Come on, I'm a disciple. I want to see if whatever you're doing, I want to be there. I want to witness it, right? Don't you feel like that? I don't want to miss what God is doing. This was a moment in time when God affirms Jesus. Very similar to His baptism. There's three times in Scripture where God affirms Jesus. The very first time is in His baptism. Remember? He affirmed Him as the Son of God, my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. But today, in this sermon, in this Scripture, He is affirming His message. Because He's beginning to tell the disciples things they don't want to hear. Much like part of the job of a pastor is to tell the church things they really don't want to hear. I'm going to tell you, people get real excited when you talk about God prospering them. People get really excited when you said He's our healer, He's our provider, and He'll make you rich in every way. They say, yeah, pastor, preach that stuff. But when you tell them you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Him, they say, now, pastor, we didn't come to hear a message like that. You better listen to the whole counsel of God. That's all I got news for you. Some of the things that the Lord shares to us doesn't flatter the flesh. And really, quite honestly, I believe it's the things we ought to maybe listen to even more. Because this flesh gets in the way a lot of times. But Jesus, or God, spoke from heaven. He says, hear Him. The old King James, hear ye Him. But listen to Him, boys. I want to affirm the message that Jesus is preaching, even though you don't understand it, even though you want Him to be king right now and to put the Roman soldiers to flight. Listen to what He is saying. He is the suffering servant. He is going to die. That is the message He's preaching, and that is the message, that is the life that I've chosen for Him. Hear Him. Hear today the Spirit of God. I wish you felt what I feel today. I believe there'd be a lot of people passing tissues out. Hear him today. Hear what God is saying to us. Jesus was transfigured right in front of these three disciples as Moses and Elijah is standing there with them. And man, I just thought, what does that mean? What does it mean? I just don't understand this passage of Scripture. And as I studied it more, I figured out what the word transfigured means. And when you understand the word transfigured, then the whole Scripture comes together. Transfigured is metamorpho, which is the word we get metamorphosis from. Jesus was changed right in front of the disciples. His body was changed in front of them. I want to read this definition. Metamorphosis is a progressive changing of an outward shape and form. It's a progressive, do you get it? You got to get that word. It's a progressive changing of the outward form. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body's living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But be not conformed to this world, but be metamorphosed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You see, the very same thing that Jesus went through when he was transfigured is what he wants to do in your life. He wants to transfigure you. The greatest example of this, as you know, is the caterpillar. And then the caterpillar begins to build the cocoon around itself. I didn't study this, but I've studied it years ago, probably in middle school. You know, I don't know how long it takes, but that little worm, that ugly little worm, moves into a cocoon and becomes a beautiful butterfly as the Lord instinctively metamorphosizes him. Do you know that carbon becomes charcoal? But if you put carbon under an extreme amount of pressure, it doesn't become charcoal. It becomes a brilliant diamond. See, there's a lot of people in life, every time they have a trial, every time they go through something difficult, all we're doing is, God, take us out of this. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Get this stuff off of me. But maybe God is trying to build you into a diamond. Have you ever thought of that? Maybe he's using the pressure that you are going through right now because he is trying to metamorphose, trying to transfigure you from the ugly little creature you are today into something beautiful for God. I'm telling you, I'm going to shout if you don't. Jesus, help us. Isaiah saw it. Chapter 1, verse 18, he said, though our sins are like scarlet, yet they shall be white as snow. Mark said, no dry cleaner in history could get his clothes as white as what they become. That's what Scripture says. No launderer, no dry cleaner, nobody washes that good. I'm telling you, if you was to see Jesus, you would have saw him illuminate. Why? Because he told us in the book of John, I am the light of the world. In one moment, God says, boys, I want you to see the real Jesus. I wish that sometime we could look into a mirror and see the identity that God sees when he sees us. The transfigured person. Isaiah again said in 61:10, he says, For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Faith is confidence. It's confidence in God when you don't feel it. It's confidence in God when you're looking for the easy button to get you out of the problem. You say, I know You are with me. I know You're walking with me. Lord, help me. In Acts 17, verse 28, He says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. I love that scripture. For in Him, for in Jesus, we don't just find salvation. We live and we move and we are this person. Jesus went through 5 stages of life. And I find that we go through the same 5 stages. The very first thing we see, the book of John chapter 1, the Word became flesh. What's that all about? The incarnation. God took the Word and put it on earth to become a baby. The incarnation. And I find that we go through an incarnation. God takes an old sinner and begins to bring salvation into his life. And he becomes a new creature in Christ, is what the scripture says, right? We have a very like experience. And much of the church wants to stop right there and say, okay, we got it, we're good, now take us to heaven. Don't miss the journey, guys. Don't miss the journey. There's more than one stage to our salvation experience. The second thing is the stuff we don't like to hear. Because the second stage that Jesus went through was the crucifixion. And most Christians says, hey, can I just skip that one? I don't want to be... Every time you see the word crucifixion, you know painful death. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Guys, we wouldn't have nearly as much problem in the church if we would just recognize we are dead men. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'll live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave Himself for me. We have been crucified with Christ. The third stage is, thank God there's a resurrection after there's the death. Because He lives, we live also. 1 John, or 1 Corinthians 15, that whole chapter is about it. And then John 14, 19 is the verse I just quoted. After the resurrection, we go through another stage in which we spend our lifetime. It's called the glorification. It's when Jesus was lifted up and He was glorified into the image of God. It's exactly what we go through. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Do you know who's writing this? This is Paul. Paul was beaten and left for dead. He was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked. He was 3 times left in the ocean. This guy knew what it was like to be hurt. But I consider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Guys, I don't know what you're going through today, but I can tell you, you are going through the glorification of your salvation. Does this make sense? When you get saved, when you ask Jesus in your heart, you're going to heaven. Right? But from that point until the day you die or the day you're raptured, you've got a process, and it's a process of what Jesus is going to be working things out of your life and working things into your life. I told the Sunday school today, most pastors will get up and they'll say something very stupid. They'll say something like this, don't pray for patience. Because if you pray for patience, you're going to get a lot of trials. And that's true. They've not told a lie. But they were short-sighted. Because the Bible says, in your patience, possessing your soul. I want to tell you today, you better pray for patience because you need it. Let patience have its perfect work that you may be complete and mature. You need patience. I need patience with you. And you need patience with me. I need patience with Treva. But Treva needs a lot of patience with me. Right? Everybody, you can say amen. Everybody knows that's a fact. We need patience because God is not finished with you when you say, come into my heart. That's when it all starts. And I just want to say this as gently as I can. The day that you ask Jesus into your heart, all hell is going to break loose against you. Why? I didn't have it too bad until I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Why? Because I was walking with Satan. But when I asked Jesus in my heart, all of a sudden I changed directions and I started walking with Him. And now I've got an enemy. But it's worth every step you take. Let Jesus be glorified in you. Is that not our life? Is that really not your prayer? Lord, let people see Jesus in me. There's not 1 ounce of Eric Kelleher that I want you to know. I promise you, I don't even like him that much. And I'm serious. But the Jesus inside of me is precious. I don't want this church to know Eric. I want them to know Jesus. The only part of Eric that you need to know is look at how much Jesus has done in that guy. It's the glorification. I'm working through a process. Lots of things have been worked out of my life. Lots of things still need to be worked out of my life. The last stage that Jesus went through and the last stage that you will go through is exaltation. Jesus was lifted up and He now sits at the right hand of the Father, right? Making intercession for you is what Scripture tells us. He was exalted. God said, there's no other name like the name of Jesus. But I found this great verse in Ephesians chapter 2, 6. He says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus was exalted, and one day you will be exalted. You will be brought up to be forever with the Lord. Moses and Elijah shows up at this party, and they are very significant players. You got to study this. You got to figure out why Moses and Elijah. Is it because they never died? Read your scripture. Moses did die. God buried him. Right? Nobody knew where he was buried. But the story of Luke tells us that Moses and Elijah begin to talk to Jesus about his exodus. That's what scripture says. His exodus. His departure. If you think Jesus went to the cross flippantly, you missed it. If you don't see the humanity of Jesus, you have missed it. If you don't see that He went to the cross saying, no, 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 no. But your will be done. You're missing it. You see, I find that, man, He agonized over this thing, and we don't get this. When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible said He sweat drops of blood. Why? Because He was afraid to die? No! Because He knew He was taking the sin of the world upon Him. Because He knew for a moment in time He was going to be separated from His Father. He agonized over that, guys. Oh, we preach it so sanitized in the church. We try to make it so clean. We don't even like to talk about blood anymore. But I'm going to tell you, it still takes blood to remove sins. They were there telling Jesus. I see it this way. They were there encouraging Jesus. Hey, Jesus, this really is the plan of God. You're doing good. It's going to be difficult. Here's what's going to happen. The words you've been sharing with the disciples, they're right. Even though Peter rebukes you, and even though other people are going to say, don't talk about this, you're on the right track. When you study these guys, you look at Moses and you realize Moses was a look backwards. Moses represented the law. But one thing Moses knew, he knew the wages of sin. Why? He wrote it down. He says, if you sin this way, the penalty, the cost of repaying for this sin is this. He knew that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. He says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Moses represents all those saints who died and are waiting for exaltation. And then Elijah comes on the scene right there. When you look at Elijah, Elijah is esteemed by the Jews as the greatest prophet that ever lived. Matter of fact, when you read in the book of James chapter 5, the scripture that Treva often talks about, let him, the sick in body, let him come from the elders of the church. He goes on and he talks about Elijah was a man just like you. Why did they use Elijah? Because the people, the Jews, looked at Elijah. Ooh, that's Elijah. And James says, Elijah was a man just like you. So what God did in Elijah's life, he can do it for you. The fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Right? Elijah represents the words of the prophets. Moses is a look backwards. Elijah is a look forward. Prophets told us things that have not even come as of yet. Their words are still hanging out there in the universe for God to accomplish, right? I'll go just as quickly as I can. I promise you, I know I'm losing some of you. You see, Jesus is the fulfillment of both. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus is the fulfillment of the words of the prophet. Do you remember when they come to Christ and they said, what? Would you please tell us what is the greatest commandment? He said, I'll be glad to share that with you. It's to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The Deuteronomy verse. But the second is likened to it. To love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments, listen to this. Upon these two commandments hang all the words of the law and the prophets. Who fulfilled that royal law? Jesus fulfilled it. Jesus is the fulfillment. Why was Moses there? Because Jesus fulfilled it. Why was Elijah there? Because he recognized Jesus fulfills the words. Peter misspoke again, saying, maybe we ought to just build three tabernacles. And I don't know the way you see this, but I see God stepping in real quickly and saying, no, you will not. This is not about Moses, and this is not about Elijah. This is not about the law, and this is not about what's going to happen. Did you just hear that? I thank God I believe the rapture of the church is going to happen. But I wish the Christians would get their eyes off of it. I wish we'd concentrate on, are we walking the right walk today? Do you know that it's prophesied that Jesus is coming back later this week? September 22nd or 23rd? I don't know about you, but I'll probably say an extra prayer just in case it happens. Pastor, do you believe that? I absolutely do not believe it. I don't believe it. But there's going to be people disappointed. Why? Because they got their eyes on a man. What a man is trying to figure it out. I believe that the Scripture purposely left some things sort of open-ended. I'm telling you, the church wants to debate, when's the rapture going to happen? Well, it's not going to happen until after this. No, it's going to happen right here. No, it's going to happen right here in the middle. You don't know. And I don't know. But I will tell you this. Be ready for whatever comes. If He comes first, which is what the Assembly of God stance is, we will glorify Jesus and I will shout and say, thank you for getting us out of that hellhole. But should He tarry and we go through the tribulation, I will promise you this, He will stand by your side. Be ready. Whatever happens, you be ready. Don't miss what God is doing, very possibly in our lifetime. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to end with this, verse 13 through 17. He says, brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And they which are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. We may not know when, but we know it's going to happen, don't we? Because we can stand upon the Word of God. I can't tell you it's going to happen later this week. I can't tell you it's going to happen. There is going to be the trump of God. In John chapter 12, the third affirmation of Jesus, I promise I'm going quick. The third affirmation of Jesus, God speaks from heaven to Jesus. And those around Him said, was that thunder? There's going to be a day when the trump of the Lord sounds and those that are alive in Jesus is going to know, hey, that's the trumpet of God. But those that don't know Christ will say, is that thunder? Why? Because they're going to miss it. There is no reason for you to miss it. I don't want you to miss the rapture of the church, but I don't want you to miss anything God's doing. I want you to be alive in Christ. Wake up! I know you think, that guy really needs to get on some medicine. You know, I had no clue that I was going to preach this with this kind of passion. I had no clue that I was going to bawl my whole way through this service. But I want you to know my heart. I want you to know that I don't want you to miss one iota what God is doing. On Wednesday night, Sunday, or Saturday night, we got a board in this room. And we pull that board out. Some of you have never seen it. And on that board is listed every prayer request that you've made mention of this week. Every text that I get says, Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. We write them on that board and we take them before the Lord. And some of you are missing it. Some of you think, well, I don't think God answers prayer. I don't think God really listens. I don't think God hears me. Oh, wake up. You can't hear thunder. I'm telling you, Sister Thomas back here in the back, his name was on the board 2 weeks ago, kidney disease, goes to the doctor this week, and he gives her a great report and takes her off some of her medicine. Christy gets baptized in the Holy Ghost driving to work. God is moving. Michael Hollowell should be in the grave, but he is not. Why? Because some godly people prayed the prayer of faith. I'm telling you, the devil meant to take him out. That lady called us at 12 o'clock about a week ago. Didn't know that we were on the phone. I kept saying, Jesse, Jesse, I'm here. She didn't know it. But I began to hear a lady intercede for a man that she loves. I heard her pleading the blood of Jesus over him. God, I appropriate his blood. I listened for 20 minutes and I felt like I was in a revival. She told me later she didn't quit praying until 4 o'clock in the morning. She hung up on me in 20 minutes. If she had left me on that phone till 4 o'clock in the morning, I would have listened till 4 o'clock in the morning. I hadn't heard people pray like that for a long time. We can replace them later if we need to. Say, he's going to tear them hardwood floors up. I don't care. It's time the church becomes the church. I'm just here to wake you up. I'm here to say Jesus was transfigured. He was metamorphosized and he wants to do the same for you. Jesus wants to change you. He loves you too much to leave you the way you were. Are you willing to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which comes through the Word of God? Would you stand with me? Every head up, every eye open. Look at me. See, if you're not man enough to ask Jesus into your heart in front of people that love Jesus with all their heart, you are never going to make it. I'm so sick of Christians that have no backbone. They can't stand up in the public and say, deny themselves and say, I am one of his. I believe that Jesus came as a baby, died as a man for my sin. If you don't have confidence that you are going to heaven with every eye open, raise both hands and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. I want to make sure I make heaven my home. Then you know what you're telling me? Every person in here believes that they are a Christian. I pray you are. So my second question is this. Are you being changed? Are you still look like the old man? Does filthy words still come out of your mouth? You still enjoy talking about dirty things? You still love a good old gossipy story? If you do, there's some transformation that needs to happen. If you think more about the thoughts here on earth than you do about being with him, if when you think about the rapture of the church happening and that trumpet sound, if it makes you nervous and it makes you sad, you need some transformation. If it doesn't bring a smile across your face and the words come out of your mouth, say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, unless you're worried about somebody else. There's some transformation that needs to happen. The truth of the matter is, I know most of you pretty well. And I don't know one person in this place, including myself and every other minister in this house, that doesn't need some transformation still yet. We have not arrived. Let's wake up. Let's not miss what God is doing. Father God, I love and I appreciate you. I'm so thankful, Lord, that every person in this house says that they are one of yours. They are saved and they're going to heaven. Father, we are all in that glorification stage where we're being changed into the image of Christ. And quite honestly, Lord, it hurts pretty often. Being crucified and crucifying the flesh hurts the flesh. But Lord, like John says, we must decrease that you must increase. Not my will, but thy will be done. I want to be a Christ ambassador. I want to represent you well. As long as I walk on this earth, I want people to see more Jesus in me than they see Eric. And I pray that prayer for every person in this room. We are everyone at a different stage in our journey. God, give us patience with each other. Lord, you've not caused me to be anyone's judge. So we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to walk beside each one of us and to talk to us and correct us. We will allow your word to bring correction, not each other. Father, I pray for every person in this room that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we would not miss what you are doing today. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. Just like your prophet said, we have got to the stage where we're calling good bad and bad good. Every wicked thing that happens on this earth, we say that Jesus did it rather than Satan. Lord, we're so mixed up, we don't know whether down is up or up is down. But Lord, help the church. Help the body of Christ to see the hand of God in all this mess. To keep our eyes on Jesus. And to express our confidence in you. I don't know what we're going to go through. But I know you're going to be beside us all the way. You will lead us and you will keep us. You will protect us. So I will not fear. I will walk in confidence with my God. I pray that for every person, not to miss the greatness of our God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.